Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. The North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture is a nonprofit organization dedicated to investigating and establishing public accountability for the role that North Carolina's government and state resources played in helping to facilitate the U.S. torture program in the early 21st century. Recently, I sat down with Dr. Christina Calger of the advocacy group Stop Torture Now to learn more about the commission, its troubling discoveries, and what needs to be done about a very frightening matter. Well, Christina Calger, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for joining us and being with us.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You and your group are trying to shine a light on something that happened in North Carolina in years past, but that very few North Carolinians actually know about. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Sure. Starting shortly after the attacks on the United States on September 11th, 2001, the U.S. government unleashed a massive program of rounding up and secretly detaining and then secretly transporting Muslim men in other countries. This was outside the law. Some of them had links to terrorism. Many of them did not. And North Carolina played a crucial role in transporting those people first to foreign partner countries where they were held in jails where torture is routine during detention and interrogation. And then when the CIA set up its secret black sites, which were torture prisons run directly by the CIA all around the globe, North Carolina played an important role in servicing those black sites by transporting prisoners to them and among them.
Tell us how North Carolina played that role. They were based here. Some of the operations were based here.
Yes, that's correct. Arrow Contractors is a CIA-affiliated company, and it's headquartered at the Johnston County Airport. So this is a small county airport with aspirations to be a regional hub, and it's located in Smithfield, just about half an hour southeast of Raleigh. And at that airport, Arrow Contractors has planes that fly missions for the CIA.
So, to this day.
Yes. Yes, as far as we know.
Yeah.
That's right. And the only way to really know if they're still at it is to investigate, to shine a light. But right after 9/11/2001, Arrow Contractors began flying these rendition missions for the CIA.
And that's the fancy word, rendition.
Yeah, rendition is a fancy word for kidnapping and secret transport to a foreign location where they're held without knowledge of their families, the Red Cross, no lawyer. They can be subjected to any torture and were subjected to gruesome tortures like prolonged beatings, prolonged suspension in painful stress positions, various forms of water torture, electric torture at the hands of foreign proxy governments, threats to female members of their families, threats with loaded guns, and prolonged deprivation of light, loud noises that persisted 24/7. A variety of forms of both physical and psychological torture. And the CIA's torture program was overseen by a couple of Air Force psychologists who had experience with the military's training of U.S. soldiers to resist torture at the hands of foreign adversaries. So they reverse engineered some of these techniques that were used to try to protect American soldiers and applied them as a torture program to prisoners held in these CIA black sites.
It sounds like something out of a terrible movie. The premise is that this kind of behavior is, of course, somehow patriotic, and this is about defending the country, and I think you would probably argue that it's precisely the opposite.
You know, first and foremost, torture is wrong. It's immoral. It violates the precepts of every religious faith and of basic morality. But also, intelligence professionals tell us that torture really does not work. The detainee will say anything in order to make the torture stop, and actual accurate information is better obtained by rapport building, where you build up a sense of trust on the part of the prisoner. Whereas coercion, physical and psychological coercion, is really the wrong way to try to get the best possible recall of the most accurate possible information, which is what the interrogator wants to get, ultimately. And that's what saves American lives, is by getting accurate information. That's not what torture produces.
And we might also point out, I suppose, that even if one did away with the torture that's involved with this, the idea of kidnapping people off the street without any process and holding them, even if there wasn't torture, but holding them without access to lawyers, without access to process, again, sort of violates, doesn't just sort of violates, it does violate basic American premises of constitutional rights and of human rights.
That's right. And even former Bush administration officials like Alberto Mora, who was general counsel for the Navy, say that the United States has suffered both internally through the undermining of the rule of law, as you just described, and also in our international standing because foreign governments are less willing to ally with us, knowing that we resort to torture and they're against it. We get less accurate information through intelligence networks abroad. And torture has been justified, if you will, in the eyes of other governments who may have been held back previously by the post-World War II consensus against torture that the United States was a key part of establishing with the Convention Against Torture, the U.S. domestication of the Convention Against Torture into our own laws. So the U.S. stood against torture since World War II and now has made it clear internationally that it no longer stands that way and that it is willing to turn a blind eye, basically, to the use of torture by our own officials.
So you're involved and you're a leader with the North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture. Tell us about the group, what it's doing, what's going on.
Well, this non-governmental inquiry commission was established because Johnson County officials have refused to do anything. State officials have refused to do anything. Going back to the Easley administration, we've met with every governor's staff who would meet with us. We've met with the attorney general numerous times. We've enlisted the help of state legislators who introduced a bill. But none of this has resulted in any change. Given that, this non-governmental panel has been assembled to try to do what government should be doing, which is to shine a light on North Carolina's role in torture and hopefully prevent it from happening again.
And so there were some hearings, I believe, held last year?
Right, November 30th and December 1st of this last year. So we had a two-day hearing in Raleigh, and invited to that were leading international and national experts on U.S. torture and North Carolina's involvement in it, people who have worked for the U.S. government, such as Alberto Mora, professional interrogators like Steve Kleinman from the Air Force, Mark Fallon, who has worked for the Army. And these are people, some of them, who from within the U.S. government have tried to stand up against torture and have tried to expose what the United States has done and have called for accountability. We also had survivors of the U.S. torture program who testified, not from the United States because they're not allowed to be here, but via Skype from Mauritania and from Italy, the wife of a survivor. And they talked about the way that their or their husband's experience of torture has essentially created permanent damage. I mean, this for Americans might be in the past, but for the hundreds of people who have survived the U.S. torture program, the damage that has been done to them psychologically as well as physically, their inability to be restored, to be rehabilitated, to get jobs, to marry, to do the kinds of things that people normally do without ever having undergone any due process, without being accused of a crime, without having a trial. The United States owes these people, North Carolina owes these people, an apology, an acknowledgement, and some form of redress.
The ultimate objective here is to stop this and compensate or at least somehow offer some sort of redress to the people who've been injured. What's coming next?
So the commission, having heard those 2 days of testimony and received other testimony outside the hearings and having done public records requests to Johnson County, to the state government, and we're still digesting the results of those, the commission is developing a report. And so working groups are preparing different chapters of that. It's going to have findings from the research and the testimony. It's going to have recommendations to county officials, state officials, federal officials, and to citizens. What can we all do to try to make amends for what we have done and to create some form of greater transparency and accountability, which is really the only way to assure that this doesn't happen again.
If folks would like to learn more about it, it's Stop Torture Now and the North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture. They could Google those, but are there easy to remember? Maybe an easy to remember website or two?
Yes, right. So the Commission of Inquiry is NCCIT. That's North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture. So nccit.org. That's all you need to know. And Stop Torture Now is NCSTN, Stop Torture Now. .org. So you could Google North Carolina torture and you would come up with those websites.
Well, we urge folks to do that. Check it out. Learn about this important subject. And thanks for being with us. Thanks for all your work.
Thank you very much for having me.
Up next, Jonathan Jones of the Open Government Coalition talks about Sunshine Week 2018. Stay with us.